Thank you for listening today to our podcast here at Word of Life. We're delighted that you tuned in, and I pray that while you hear us talk, you hear the Holy Spirit speak. I know God's got a big plan for you. We're excited to be a part of that plan. Hopefully, we will see you sometime soon, maybe even this weekend. Until then, we pray you have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Well, good morning. Sure is good to be with you guys today. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. Myself and our youngest daughter, Kat, we're headed to Manchester also on Tuesday. So be praying for us as you're praying for Pastor Joel and his family. We're going to be over there about 3 weeks. And so we are really looking forward to getting back on the soil and helping out. Going to do some outreaches that are going to be really great. So please pray for us as we head back that way. And just want to congratulate all the dads. Why don't you go ahead and stand up? I love all the fathers to stand up today. If you're a stepfather, grandfather, whatever, go ahead and stand up. Praise God. The house is full of dads. Awesome. You may sit down. You know, I wonder if I was to ask who had the most children in here, I wonder what that number might be. You know, reminds me of a story I heard one time. There were these three fathers. They were first-time guys, and they were in the maternity waiting room waiting for the wives to deliver. And the first nurse walks out to the first husband and says, "Congratulations, you're the father of twins." And the guy said, "That's amazing. I play baseball for the Minnesota Twins. That's amazing, I had twins." Then the next nurse comes out to the next father and says, "Hey, you're the proud father of triplets." And he said, that's crazy. I work at 3M. Well, the third father fainted. And he's laying on the ground and they're trying to revive him. "What's wrong? What's wrong?" He says, "I work for 7-Up. Praise the Lord. I actually talked to a guy last night who said he was one of seven kids in his home. Bless his mom and bless his dad. You know, this is Father's Day, and so we want to turn our attention to our Father, our Heavenly Father. Amen. I think one of the greatest scriptures that really shows God as Father is over in Ephesians chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles, turn over there. If not, we have it up on the screens. But I'm going to read it in two different translations. And in the NIV, it says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father." Everybody say, "The Father." Notice he didn't say God. He said, "The Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name." And in verse 14 of the Amplified, it says, "For this reason, seeing the greatness of this plan by which you are built together in Christ, I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that Father from whom all fatherhood takes its title and derives its name." Fatherhood doesn't come from the government. Fatherhood doesn't come from mankind. Fatherhood comes from God the Father. Amen? And we have to realize that as fathers and as dads, we draw from our Heavenly Father. And so today on Father's Day, not only honor you, but we honor our dad. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that you are our daddy. Thank you so much for your love, your forgiveness, your comfort, your help. Thank you for all that you've done for us today. And Father God, as I preach this message, I pray that the words that come out of my mouth are formed by you and by your Spirit. I pray that they'd be seeds that would go deep into the hearts of these precious people. And Father God, we'd pray that they'd receive divine impartation and divine revelation knowledge in Jesus' name. And everyone said, "Amen." You know, I had been married for 14 years and was 37 years old before I became a dad. And I can remember like it was yesterday. It was on a Monday night at 6 o'clock, and all of a sudden, my little girl was born. And she appeared. And all of a sudden, I had emotions and feelings that I didn't even know existed. And so after about 30 minutes, you know, they'd take her in the back. So I went back there to see how she was doing. And I walked in there, and I kid you not, she was under this heat lamp, and she was butt naked. She didn't have stitch clothes on her. And she was flailing all over the place, and she was crying bloody murder. I mean, crying like you wouldn't believe. I mean, she's now 20 and has a great set of lungs to sing, but I'm here to tell you, I knew she had those lungs that day because she was crying. And I started, all of a sudden, these emotions bombarded me. These feelings came on me. This is now my little girl. And the nurse was ignoring her. The nurse was just sitting there with her back to this precious, wonderful little baby. And she's writing in the chart. And I go, nurse, nurse, my baby's crying. And she never looked up. She never stopped writing. But she said these remarkable words. She said, yes, sir, she's crying. And that's what babies do. They cry. But, you know, all of a sudden, I had a new role. All of a sudden, things have changed. What is a role? The actions and the activities assigned to a person. A role is a part you play. A role is a job or a function. I'd been in the ministry for several years at that time. So that job or function of being a pastor, being a minister, I was really familiar with that. I'd been a husband for 14 years. And that was a part I had played, and I was used to that part. I understood that part. But all of a sudden now, I had a new role with new actions and new activities assigned to me, and I'm here to tell you, it was brand new. And right then and there, all of a sudden, I've got this new role, and now all of a sudden, a new responsibility. And I kid you not, I'm not being evangelistic here. I'm not making this up. But all of a sudden, I look at that little girl, and I realize I'm the father of the bride, and I've got to pay for it. Oh, no. And I realize that little girl's going to have to go to college one day, and she is right now at MC, and I got to pay for it. And then all of a sudden, I realized that girls like clothes, dresses, and hair bows, and they like them to match. You have to buy the matching pacifier to the outfit. Who does that? Yellow pacifier, yellow outfit, red pacifier, red outfit. We even had a bumblebee outfit and a bumblebee pacifier, and I'm not making that up. Hair bows, every, man, we had rows and rows and rows, and I paid for them. See, all of a sudden, I had a new responsibility. A responsibility is a task or a duty you are required or expected to perform. See, that little baby, she didn't know who her daddy was. But now, if she was going to make it and grow and develop into who she needed to be, I had a task and a duty that I was required and expected to perform as her dad. I had a new role with new responsibilities. I call it the three P's of fatherhood. And the three P's of fatherhood for me are basically, you're a provider, you're a protector, and you're a pattern. You know, I think the greatest thing that I do as a father is number three, I'm a pattern. I'm a pattern of a man who loves God and loves his wife. I've heard said the greatest thing you can do for your children is love their mother. And then all of a sudden, I realize that she's going to emulate and say and do what I say. And all of a sudden now, I am showing somebody else how to live their life. I'm a pattern. I'm an example. And then all of a sudden, I'm a protector. I remember when Kat was two, we were at church where I was pastoring. I was up on the stage doing some things. And she was down on the floor. She was 2 years old, and she was hanging out with three little girls. They were 5, 7, and 10. They were sisters, and they had a little brother who was the same age as Kat is, too. And this bully of a two-year-old, that's right, their brother, he was standing over there, and all of a sudden he saw Kat playing with the girl, and he got jealous. And he stomped over there. Man, he looked like a five-year-old. I think he'd been pumping iron. And he goes over there, and he takes my precious little baby, takes both hands, and throws her up against the pew. He body slams her against the pew. She hits her head, falls down, starts crying, and all of a sudden I leap off the stage. That protector. And everybody's yelling, he's only two, he's only two. And then you become a provider. You provide. But the great thing about being a dad, great thing about fatherhood, is I'm not in it by myself, and I've got a great example of what a true father is by looking at my Father God. See, the thing that really made the Pharisees and the Sadducees so mad is because Jesus called God Father. To them, he was God. To them, he was the omnipotent one, the all-powerful one, the all-knowing, and they were afraid of God. But Jesus, over 100 times in the book of John, referred to God as my father. He never said God. He said my father, my dad. Over here in the book of John 5, it's on the screen, verse 17. But Jesus replied, my father is always working and so am I. So the Jewish leaders tried all the harder to find a way to kill him. For he not only broke the Sabbath, he called God his father, thereby making himself equal with God. So Jesus explained, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees his Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son does also. God was Father to Jesus. And Jesus said, whatever my dad says, I say, and whatever my dad does, he does. And the thing that Jesus understood is he got his life and his nature from his dad. But I'm here to tell you, we get the same thing ourselves as born-again Christians. Over here in the book of Romans 8, 14 through 16, it says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. Oh, isn't that cool? And now we get to cry, Abba, Father, or Daddy, or Dada. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. See, when I was 20 years old, I finally cried out to God. When I was 20 years old, I finally said, God, save me. Jesus, come into my heart. Change my life. Rearrange it. Fix it. It's a mess. Help me. And that day, I was ushered into the maternity ward of heaven. And that day, I was born again and birthed into heaven. And all of a sudden now, God's not just God. He's my Father. Can you imagine how God felt that day when he got to assume the role as Father in my life rather than just God? He's not just my creator now, he's my dad. And not only that, now he gets to fulfill a responsibility in my life as my spiritual father, not just as my creator, but as my dad. And now he gets to be my protector, my provider, my protector, and my pattern. See, God the Father is the pattern that we follow. God the Father is the one that we see, and he's the one that we see what he does, hear what he says, and we get to do the same thing. He's my protector. Psalm 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of the Almighty. We get to run into the high tower. We get to dwell in our Father's presence, and he protects us and surrounds us. I'm here to tell you, you're never alone because Daddy's there with you. Reminds me of a story I heard one time of a little boy. He really wanted to go to a birthday party. And it was just down to the street, just a few houses down. He finally begged his dad. His dad said, okay, you can go to the birthday party. It's okay. Well, the day of the birthday party, he woke up. They'd had a freak snowstorm, and they had 6 inches of snow on the ground. And the dad said, I think it's too bad. And it was still snowing, those wet, big, thick flakes in the spring. But he kept saying, Daddy, please, please, please. Any of us ever experienced that? And he finally said, okay, you can go. And the kid was shocked. So his dad puts on his coat and his boots and glove and hat, wraps the kid up and sends him outside. Kid goes down the street a few houses, turns the corner, goes up to his friends. As he knocks on the door, he stops and he looks back. And when he looks back, he sees another set of prints in the snow. And as he looks up, he can see his father going around the curve and headed back to the house. All that time, he thought he was alone. He was not alone. His daddy was there watching out for him. I'm here to tell you, Father God never sleeps and he never slumbers. He's always awake and he's always watching. But see, we have to realize that he's dad. He's our protector, and then he's our provider. How about Jehovah Jireh, my provider? How about El Shaddai? How about my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus? There's not a need he can't supply in your life. But let me tell you, the key to receiving all of that from your Heavenly Father is you've got to realize, and point number one is this, you've got to realize that God's not just God, he's your daddy. You have to realize he's your daddy, and you get to crawl up in his lap and receive him as a provider, a protector, and your pattern. You know, there was a story of a king one time, and this king had all of his cabinet people there, and they were talking and working really hard, and all of a sudden there was a bunch of commotion outside this room, and a door flung open, and this six-year-old boy comes running in, just laughing and carrying on. And all of a sudden the advisor says, "Stop, stop. This is the king. You must stop." And the little boy just blows right by him. He's just laughing the whole time. And then he crawls up into the king's lap. And as he turns around, he utters these words. He said, "To you, he's king. To me, he's daddy." Whew. Folks, God's door's never shut. He's never busy. He never puts you on hold. He's your daddy. You have the right and the privilege every single day to crawl up and say, "Dad, I love you. Thank you for providing for me. Thank you for protecting me. Thank you for being such a pattern and teaching and guiding my life." God's your daddy. But see, one of the important things that we have to realize in order to receive what we need to receive from our fathers, our Heavenly Father, but also our natural fathers, is point number two. The role and the responsibility of a father is to be honored and valued. As a youth pastor for 11 years, my first 11 years of my pastoral career, I was a youth pastor. And I can't tell you how many hundreds of teenagers and thousands I pastored over those 11 years. I had a very large youth group, had a lot of kids. And I learned something very important. You cannot teach anything to anyone who does not respect you, honor you, or value you. There are some kids in my youth group, I couldn't help them at all. I wanted to, I had something to give them, but they had no respect, they had no honor. They didn't respect my role, and they didn't want to receive my responsibility, and I couldn't hardly do anything for them. See, one of the things we have to realize as children of God, we must honor and respect his role so that he can fulfill his responsibility in our life. We have to realize our natural fathers, they are gifts from God to us, but in order to receive from them, we must honor and respect the role and receive the responsibility. But then as a father myself, I must honor and I must respect the role that I'm to fulfill. I myself as a dad, in order to fulfill my role and fulfill my responsibility and walk in all that God has for me as a dad, for my children and my grandchildren, I must honor and respect, and I must say, yes, I will fulfill my role, and yes, I will fulfill my responsibility. You have to show honor and respect in order to do what you need to do. Let me read you this story. It's called The Importance of Fathers. You know, a lot's said about mothers these days, and not so much about fathers, and really the roles in the home have gotten very, very muddy. Oh, you don't need a father. You don't need a mother. No, this, all this stuff. And I'm here to tell you, that's the farthest thing from the truth. I remember when I got married to Paige, Pastor Joel and Hope Lamberson's mom, I married her and Kat was five. And so Kat was five at that time and she adopted Kat. And about a year in, she came to me and said, "We got a problem." I said, "Really?" She said, "Yes. You're being mommy and daddy." She said, "I'm mommy, and you've got to slide over and play daddy and let me play mommy." Yeah, you're right, girl. That's right. Come on, that's good preaching. And that day, I gave up the role of being mama, which I'd played for several years, and assumed the role of daddy and the responsibility of the father. Fathers are important. They're valuable. A positive and continuous relationship to one's father has been found to be associated with a good self-concept. Higher self-esteem, higher self-confidence in personal and social interaction, higher moral maturity, reduced rates of unwed teen pregnancy, greater internal control, and higher career aspirations. Fathers who are affectionate, nurturing, and actively involved in child rearing are more likely to have well-adjusted children. Thank God for moms, but thank God for dads. They have a part to play. You know, it's important as a dad, like I said, to realize how important your role is. I'm going to read you a story called Not Wasted Time. Charles Francis Adams, son of President John Quincy Adams, and the grandson of President John Adams, kept a diary. And one day he entered, "Went fishing with my son today, a day wasted." Can you imagine that? That father said that was a day wasted. His son, Brooke Adams, also kept a diary, which was still in existence. And on the same day, Brooke Adams made this entry: "Went fishing with my father, the most wonderful day of my life." The father thought he was wasting time while fishing with his son, but his son saw it as an investment of time. The only way to tell the difference between wasting and investing is to know one's ultimate purpose in life and to judge accordingly. See, Charles Francis Adams had forgotten that his primary role and responsibility was to be that little boy's father and invest in him. You know, a few months ago, I had my grandsons, two of my grandsons, over at the house, Max and Lake, and they wanted to do a bonfire. And so I said, "Sure, guys, I've got a fire pit out in the backyard, one of those rustic kind of little areas, you know, so we got out there where we could be men and get dirty." And everybody said, "Yes, we're getting dirty." So we got out there and started breaking up all the little branches, and I sent them out around the yard to pick up the little sticks. And then we got down and I showed them how to build a bonfire. Every little boy needs to learn how to build a bonfire. You got to know how to build one properly. And so I took the paper and the newspaper, watered it up really good like I'd been shown as a little boy, put it down the center. And then we built a teepee. The little bitty sticks first, then the other sticks, and got bigger and bigger until we have this incredible teepee that has a little bitty hole that you can get into with a lighter. Had Max grab the lighter, he was old enough, reach down there, pop it. All of a sudden, it starts catching. You can hear the kindling going crack, 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 crack. And all of a sudden, we had this huge bonfire. I'm here to tell you, folks, that was a great day. That wasn't a wasted day. That was an opportunity for Pop-Pop to pass on to his grandsons what he learned from his Pop-Pop. I built my first bonfire when I went on a family camping trip with my mom's dad, and he showed me how to build a fire. It's the first time I caught fish. I caught three fish, and they literally stuck them on the twigs and kept them in the refrigerator, in the freezer, up until I was a teenager. And every time I went to my granddad's house, I'd open it up, we'd pull out the fish. Look at the fish Marcus caught. Those fish stayed in there for years. Folks, you talk about not wasted time. That's an investment. And we're talking 47 years later. I remember that. Or however how many years it's been. I guess it's been more than that. Yeah, it's investment time. See, as fathers, we have to honor our role and responsibility. And then as children, we have to realize that our Heavenly Father has amazing characteristics. First of all, we know that God is good. Amen? How about that song, "He's a Good, Good Father"? It's out now by Chris Tomlin. "And we are loved by Him." Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Isn't that a cool song? "Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father." He's a good Father. He's a loving Father. And His love is unconditional. I don't care how bad you mess it up. God loves you and He's going to forgive you. All you got to do is come home and get up in His lap and say, "Dad, I missed it." I don't care what a pickle you get yourself in. He'll get you out of that pickle if you'll come to Him. That's the loving God we have. It's unconditional. It's not based on our merits and how we perform. No, it's just based totally on I'm loving. But I think the greatest characteristic of our daddy that we forget sometimes is this characteristic that's point number three. One of the greatest characteristics of God the Father is that He is a faithful Father to us, His children. Everybody say, our daddy is faithful. 1 Corinthians 1:9 in the Amplified, it's up on the screen, and this is one of these verses that you memorize, you write down, and you remember. God is faithful. He's reliable, trustworthy, and therefore ever true to his promise. He can be depended on. By him, you are called into companionship and participation with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is reliable. God is trustworthy. God is dependable. He's your daddy. He's your father. The reason you can trust Father God is because he's trustworthy. The reason you can rely on Father God is he's reliable. And the reason you can depend on Father God is he is dependable. He is faithful. What he says and what he promises, he will do. Have you ever had anybody break a promise to you? Maybe a parent or somebody important in your life? I'm here to tell you, if he said it, he'll do it. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 24 in the NIV says this, the one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. Now the message is what I've got written into my King James Bible. In my King James Bible on this verse, I've written the message translation because it's so powerful. And it goes like this, the one who called you is completely dependable. If he said it, he will do it. You remember that verse in the Bible? I read it this morning in James chapter 1. It was part of my Bible reading this morning as I was doing my devotion and hanging out with my Heavenly Father. It talks about, but be you doers of the word, not hearers only. Anybody remember that verse? Yeah. You know who's the number one doer of the word? Your daddy, God. I mean, he never, ever, ever goes outside his word. He always tells the truth. He does the truth. If he says he will never leave you or forsake you, I guarantee you he will not. If he said he will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory, I guarantee you he will. And if he said, come to me and confess my sins, I will forgive you, I guarantee you he has. Because he is a faithful God. But I'm telling you what that all means to me is if I said it, I'll do it. It means integrity. Integrity is key. Point number four. Point number four, integrity gives us the ability to assume our roles and fulfill our responsibility as a father. Now think about that for a second. The reason God's able to assume his role and fulfill his responsibility in your life is because he's faithful and he does what he says. That gives him integrity. You trust him, you believe in him. See, I'm here to tell you, it is extremely important to realize that as fathers, as natural fathers, we need to be men who are faithful, but we need to have integrity and be faithful to our word. If you make a promise, guess what? You need to keep it. I remember when I was a little boy, this goes back when I was about 10 years old, my daddy and my stepmother, they used to love to do horse shows, and they would train and they would show Tennessee walking horses. Anybody ever been to a horse show before? And so I grew up going to horse shows. And on the weekends, we would go. But my favorite thing to do was after the horse show, late at night, we got to go to Waffle House. Yeah! Any Waffle House fans here besides me? Come on, two pork chops and an egg. My goodness, and a crispy waffle. Come on now. But man, I went to my dad and said, Daddy, we're going to Waffle House. I want to go to Waffle House. I want to get a waffle and I want to get some hot chocolate with marshmallows. And Dad said, well, it's late. And one of his friends came by. He said, hey, Doc, we're going to Waffle House. You going to meet us there? He said, yeah, okay. He said, all right, Marcus, we're going to Waffle House. I'm happy. So we all load up in the station wagon. Anybody know what a station wagon is? It's a land yacht. I mean, it's the biggest thing you've seen. And we had the biggest land yacht because we got five kids. They fold down the seat. We got sleeping bags in there. We got comic books, Batman, Superman, man, I've read them all. We're back there and we got the pillows. The other four kids are going to sleep, but I'm not. I'm laying there just listening to the tires on the pavement and wondering when we're pulling into Waffle House. And then all of a sudden, my stepmother starts talking to Daddy and says, Marcus, it's late. We got to get those kids in bed. And I'm going, no, you don't. And I'm listening. I remember just like yesterday, I can tell you exactly where I was in the car, on that left side, right up against behind my dad. I'm pretending to be asleep, but I'm listening. He said, I told Cracky we'd go, and I told Marcus we'd go. We got to go. Amen. I got my crispy waffle and I got my hot chocolate. But more importantly, my dad did what he said. You know, I'm fortunate to have two fathers. My daddy, who I was talking about, he's 83, and my stepfather, he's 90. And they're still both with me today. But one of the greatest remembrances I have of both of them is they did what they said. My stepfather, I mean, he worked me in the garden like you wouldn't believe, but I'm here to tell you, he was a man of his word. And if I didn't get out there and work the garden, he would take care of me. If you know what I mean. Jelly bean. Yeah, your integrity allows you to assume the role and fulfill the responsibility of a father. Let's look at this definition of integrity. Your words and your actions, they match. Your beliefs and your behavior, they match. Your principles and your practice, they match. The thing I love about God the Father, he has principles, but every practice that he has matches his principles. God has beliefs, but his behavior always reflects his beliefs. And he has actions, and his actions always back up his words. See, when we look to God and his integrity, but we as fathers and parents and leaders, as we realize how important integrity is, integrity equals influence. If you want to have influence to assume a role and fulfill a responsibility, whether it be a father or mother or a leader or anything that you do, you must have integrity because it gives you influence or the ability to lead. It gives you the ability to assume a role and fulfill the responsibility in that person's life. Let me read a story to you that really reflects this importance. It says, is your integrity above question? As a schoolboy, I worked with my father during the summer months. Each morning we stopped to pick up the early edition of the newspaper at a small grocery store. One morning when we got to work, my father found that by mistake, he had taken two newspapers instead of one. He first thought of paying the man the extra price the next morning, but after a moment's consideration, he said, I better go back with this paper. I don't want the man at the store to think I am dishonest. And notice who heard it. His son did. So he got in his car, drove back to the store, and returned the paper. About a week later, someone stole money from the grocery store. When police pinpointed the time it occurred, the grocer remembered only two people being in the store at the time. And one of those men was my father. The grocer immediately dismissed my father as a suspect, saying, that man is really honest. He came all the way back here just to return a newspaper he took by mistake. The police then focused their investigation on the other man who made a full confession. My father's honesty made a big impression on that non-Christian store owner and on me. And then years later, that son wrote that story about his father. You know, today as we close this message, I want to remind us to do a few things today. Number one, crawl up in your father's lap, your heavenly father's, and thank him for what he's done for you. Thank him today on this Father's Day for being your provider, your protector, and your pattern. Go through and talk to him and bring up the memories of the things he's done for you. Secondly, if you're as fortunate as I am to have a father still alive or somebody who's been a leader and made a difference in your life, take the time to call them today or go visit them and thank them for what they've done. I will make two phone calls later today to my 83-year-old daddy and my 90-year-old dad. And I will thank them for providing for me, for protecting me, and serving as a pattern. And then last but not least, if you're a father in this room today, take a moment and realize you have a very significant and important role to play. You have children, you have grandchildren, you have other people who see you as a spiritual father, as a leader, and you have an amazing, important role to play in their lives. Realize you have a responsibility to fulfill, to provide, to protect, and to be a pattern and to serve in such a way that when they see you, they see God the Father. The greatest thing I can do for my grandkids, the greatest thing I can do for my children, the greatest thing I can do for people who follow me and who I lead is to be an example and be a light that reflects back to our Heavenly Father. Today, as we celebrate this Father's Day, let your love, let your honor and respect fill your heart and give love to your Heavenly Father, to your natural fathers. And then as a father, go ahead today and say, yes, I will assume that role. I will fulfill that responsibility. And my children will flourish and prosper. I leave you with a quote from Pastor Joel that he says often. He said, the most important thing you do in life may not be what you do, but who you raise. And we get to raise them as a role and the responsibility that comes from our Heavenly Father. And we can do it well. You're called and you're anointed and you're equipped to lead and be that father or be that mother in your family. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for today. Thank you for this service and for the people that are here. And Lord, we just thank you right now. As we pray, we thank you that you are our dad. And we'll just take a moment. And if you're in this place and you've never done what I did back when I was 20, ask God to become your daddy by accepting Jesus. I want to encourage you to do that today. He's God, but he wants to be your daddy. And the way that happens is by believing in your heart and confessing in your mouth the Lord Jesus. We're going to pray a prayer in a minute. And if you pray that prayer, he'll come in and he'll become your dad and change your life from the inside out. Or you might say, you know, I'm a Christian. God's my father, but I haven't been home lately. I haven't talked to daddy lately. I've been out and about and life's gotten tough. You know, he said, if you just confess your sins, he'd be faithful and just to forgive you. So today on this Father's Day, as we pray this prayer, if you haven't been home lately, you can come home today and crawl up in dad's lap and he'll love on you, he'll forgive you, and he'll help you. So I would love everyone in this room to pray this prayer and pray it out loud. Let's fill up this auditorium with our voices. And let's pray this prayer because there are people in here that need to pray this prayer today, and let's all pray it together. Say this with me out loud. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I believe Jesus is your Son, sent to die for me. I give you my whole heart, all my life. I repent of my sins. Save me. Be my daddy. And daddy, today I repent for not coming home. I repent for being out and about. But I come home today. Please forgive me. Thank you for your life. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
We want to thank you for listening to us today. I pray that you enjoyed the message, and I just know that as we talk, the Holy Spirit is going to speak to your heart. Hopefully, we'll see you soon sometime. Join us this weekend if you can. Until then, we'll see you next time.